Hey, we will begin on Daf Nun Dalar Amud Beis, the middle of the Amud at the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Shoa as the Kainim Beroimi. The Sekainim of the Akum, asked Chazal in Rome. It may return about the Kitzchavim, as we have been learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so upset and so concerned about Avodah Zarah, Lama Einim Avatla. Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just destroy Avodah Zarah? And to frame the Gemara's question, even though, as we know, we're not allowed to teach Akum Torah, here we are going to have, in our Shia today, a dialogue between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas Olam about Avodah Zarah, a Torah discussion, because as we have been learning, Akum may not worship Avodah Zarah, and because they may not worship Avodah Zarah, obviously we're allowed to teach them why they shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, as the Mefarshim explained, because the Avera of Avodah Zarah is so very serious, even though there's schar, there's reward for not worshipping Avodah Zarah, the Akum was saying to Chazal, we're not interested in the reward, it's not worth it, given that the seriousness of the Avera. Furthermore, as is clear in the Mefarshim understanding this Mishnah, it's obvious that the Akum believe in God. They just believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given over the day-to-day management of the world to the Avodah Zarah, which of course is also apikarsis, and that's the focus of the discussion, because if they didn't believe in Hashem, then this entire conversation wouldn't be relevant. Mefarshim also go on to explain that when the Akum were asking Chazal, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so anti-Avodah Zarah, why doesn't he destroy it? There are really two types of Avodah Zarah. There's an Avodah Zarah, like the sun and the moon, which will become clear as we learn the Mishnah and the Gemara. And there's Avodah Zarah that are also here on a constant basis. They were created and were there from, so to speak, from the beginning of creation. And then there are Avodah Zarah that is created, so to speak, on a daily basis, where they would create idols. And clearly the Mefarshim suggests that the Gemara's discussion here, the Mishnah's discussion, is not that the Akum were asking Chazal that every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be busy destroying Avodah Zarah. That doesn't make any sense. Rather, what the question here was, if the Avodah Zarah is so such a problem, these Avodah Zarah, like the sun, the moon, that are here, and it would be a one-time event to destroy them, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy them? Lama Einam Avatla. Amlehem, to which they responded, Ila Udavish Ain't Sarach Oilem Ba. If they worship something that the world doesn't need, if they worship something that the world doesn't need, Hayim Avatlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy them. But Harein Oivdim, who do they worship? L'cham Alovan Al-Kachav Al-Mazalas, the sun and the moon and the stars. Yoivdo Oilem, so do we want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should destroy the world? Nei Ashaitim, because of these foolish people? So Farshim asks, why are they called Shaitim? They should be called Rishon. Swampshat, I saw the Mefarshim says, we know that the Pasuk says, that the Gemara says, Ein Adam Chayta, Elm Kein Nichnas Baruach Shtus. And that's why they're called Shaitim, because they worship Avodah Zarah. Another pshat that I saw is that there's certain Averis that people do because they have taiva, they're anxious to do the Avera. It's tempting, not condoning, but it's tempting. The Avera of Avodah Zarah comes from foolishness. If anybody thought with their intellectually, they would understand that Avodah Zarah is useless, and therefore somebody who worships the Avodah Zarah is considered a shaita. The part we say every day in davening, Kikol Elokei Ha'amim Alilim, Vashem Shemayim Oso, explains the Alshach. That's Pshat. What we say every day in davening is exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Kikol Elokei Ha'amim Alilim, all of the gods of the nations Alilim are nothing. So if you'll say if they're nothing, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy him? because Hashem Shemai Masa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs that the world should continue. And because he needs that the world should continue, that's why he doesn't destroy those Avodah Zaras. Continues the Mishnah. So they then say to Chazal, Amalem, and can you have the Dovah Shein Tzarech Oilem Ba? Let Hashem destroy the Avodah Zarah for which there is no such great need. V'yiniach Dovah Shein Tzarech Oilem Ba. And leave the Avodah Zarah that the world needs. Amalem, to which Chazal respond, Af ono machzikim yidei avideim shel oilu. Taking such an approach is going to only create problems. Because then the people who worship the Avodah Zarah that won't be destroyed will now believe that their Avodah Zarah really is potent. Teidu, and the proof that they would bring, Teidu Shein Elokus, the proof that they would bring that they are indeed gods, Shein Levato, why didn't Kadosh Baruch Hu destroy them? And as the Maral explains the Mishnah, we know one of the basic tenets of our faith is Bechira, that a person has the choice to do what's right or wrong. And it's a very delicate balance, this issue of Bechira. On one hand, if it would be obvious what the right thing to do, it would be so obvious that nobody would do anything wrong. There would be no Bechira. And the same goes the other way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy the Avodah Zarah that the world doesn't need, and leave the Avodah Zarah that the world does need, then the people who worship the Avodah Zarah, like the sun and the moon that the world needs, it would be too much of a draw that they should worship those of our desires. And that's not fair either. That isn't Bechira either. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's so concerned to keep that delicate balance, keeps all of the Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shaul philosopher asked the Zakenim Baronim. The Abikarsim asked the Zakenim in Rome, Im Elokeichem en Ritzoinu b'Avodas Kechavim, if your God is so not anti-Avodah Zarah, Neimayin Avatla, why doesn't he destroy it? Amalhem. To which they responded, if indeed they would worship something that the world doesn't need, he would indeed destroy it. But whom do they worship? They worship the Chamim, the Levonim, the Kechavim, Mazalus, the constellations, and the sun, and the moon. Should the world be destroyed because of these foolish people? HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the one world running as it is. The Shaitim Shekilkalu, these people that make the mistake, a Sidin Litin Asadin will have to give Din V'cheshbon. Dava Acher, continues the Gemara, Harei Shesazel Shah Shalchitim, if somebody steals some wheat, V'holach V'zar B'karka, and then he goes and plants it, Dinhu, logically, we should argue, Shalei Titzmach, a person shouldn't benefit from the avery he did of stealing. Ella, Oilam Kamen Haganoig, but that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Ella Kamen Haganoig, V'hoilach, the world continues, V'shaitim Shalkilkul, and these foolish people that did this avera, Asidin Litin Asadin. So here too, the Mepharshim explain why does the Brisa use the word shaitim? Because there are people that make the following calculation. They say, we steal a saw of chitin, we'll plant it in the ground, it'll grow, and then we'll give back the sod that we stole. And they think that that's a legitimate rationalization. But it's shaitim, it's foolish. There is never a heter to steal anything. Davachar. Haresha ba'aleshes chaveri. If somebody has an adulterous relationship with an ashesish, dinu shalotis aber. She shouldn't really get pregnant. Elo, oilam kemen hagenoig. The way it works is if people have relations, the woman will conceive. V'shartim shal kilkalu, asidin litin asadin. Again, here too, the Mepharshim explain why are they called shaitim. Because they say that we know there's a parash in the Torah, in parashas Kiseitzei, the parash of Yifas Torah. That when they go to war, when Klai Yisrael goes to war under certain circumstances, they could take as a wife a non-Jewish woman that they capture. Even if she's an Ashes Ish of an Akum. So they think that there's a heter for doing that. And taking that approach, v'shaitim is a shtos. V'hanad amr shlokish. And regarding such individuals who have relations with Ashes Ish, amr kadosh baruch hu l'dayin l'rishoyim, sh'oysen shalosh li pumbay, not only that they take my coin and they make it public. We'll explain this in a moment. Ela shematrichen oisi, machtim oisi, bakarchen. They make me do it against my will, which means Pashup Shad as follows. We know the Pasuk says, Ki betzelem elokim asa as adam. A person was created in the image of God. Every human being is created in the image of God. When somebody goes and has an adulterous relationship with a woman, and they have a child, that child, who is born like every human being in the image of God, was born as a mamzer. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't accept how his image was used in such a horrible way. Another pshat that I saw is almost the opposite direction. Pshat that I saw is as follows. Here you have this couple that have this adulterous relationship. And they think that they're doing something that they'll never get caught. What happens? The child is born, and he looks like his real father, not like this woman's husband. And that's how he's exposed. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that even though here the Gemara clearly indicates, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world as it is, the world order continues, even when people do an Aveira. And that's why if a couple has an adulterous relationship, the woman will get pregnant, even though it's an Aveira. However, say to Mefarshim, that's only a woman and a man who are healthy and able to conceive under normal circumstances. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow happen, is that a woman who, or man who normally would not be able to have children should have children from an adulterous relationship, that a nais for a maisa aveira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let happen. And I saw the Mefarshim explain with this concept two psukim in the Torah. We all recall that when Eliezer came to the home of Psul and Lovin to find a wife for Yitzchak, he starts saying the history of Yitzchak. That Yitzchak was born to Avram and Sarah, and the pasuk says, "Ashel yolda Sarah Ashes Adoni Avram Achra Ziknasai," after they became old. So the first mask, we could understand that Eliezer is reporting the yichus of Yitzchak to Lavan and Psul. You're doing a shidduch. You want to know who is the family. But why is it important for Eliezer to say that Yitzchak was born after Ziknasa, after Sarah got old? That has nothing to do with the yichus. So Farshim say a beautiful pshat. We all remember that Rashi says, Ela tells Avram holed is Yitzchak, that Sonei Hador was saying that me Elimelech nisabra Sarah, that Sarah got pregnant from Elimelech, not from Avram. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Yitzchak should look like Avram. So they say that's what Eliezer was saying to Psul and Lavan. You're going to think, how can we take Yitzchak as a son-in-law, as a brother-in-law? He's a mamzer. Me Elimelech nisabra Sarah. So what did Eliezer say? Achrei ziknasai. Sarai had Yitzchak at a time when normally she wouldn't have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't make a nais for an adulterous relationship. It must be that he is indeed not a mamzer and Yitzchak and Avram's son. Similar pshat. The pasuk says that when Yaakov meets Esav after he leaves Lavan's house and he comes with his whole family, his wife and his children, and Esav asks, Mi Eilalach, who are these people? And Yaakov responds, Hayilodim Ashechonim Elakim Asavdecha. These are the children that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me with. Why didn't he speak about his wives? He's only speaking about his children. What about his wives? So I saw a beautiful pshat along the same lines. Yaakov resent a message to Esav. Imlov Mengarti, and Rashi says, Imlov Mengarti, Vitari Yag Mitzvah Shemarti. I followed the entire Torah. So Esav says, you didn't follow the entire Torah. You marry two sisters. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. Rachel and Leah. Yaakov responded, I had a special dispensation. Hashem wanted me to marry two sisters. What's the raya that I did the right thing? And that's what Yaakov was responding to Esav. Hayilodim ashechanan olkim esavdecha. Rachel was an akara. Rachel shouldn't be able to have children. And if my living with her was an aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't create children from a relationship that's an aveira. If If they were children from this union, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proved it. And that's why your claim that I didn't follow the Targum Mitzvahs is null and void. Continues the Gemara. Shal Flosos as Akhra Sir Gamliel. Kosba Tereschem, Keshem Elkech Esh Ochlehu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kael Kana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kana in those that worship Avodah Zarah. And we'll explain the Gemara the way the Mashah explains the Gemara. He explains that the question, that there are two definitions of the word Kana. And Kana here means, in the Havamina, jealous. To which this person asked Chazal, the name I'm Iskana Ba'ivdeo, Ve'en Iskana Ba. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only jealous of those that worship the Avodah Zarah and not the Avodah Zarah itself? Amala, to which he responded, Mashal Chamal Davdad, the male of Masudam, Shoyal Ben Echon had a son, Vaisa Ben Ali Megad Alayas Caliph. And the son had a pet dog, Valay Shem Al Shem Aviv. He called the dog by his father's name. Kushinizba, and when he swore, he said, B'chai Caliph Abba. Kishama Melech, when the king hears this, Amir Kais, on whom does he get angry? Ala Benu Kais, or Alif Kais? On the son or on the dog? Have Aimu Al Benu Kais? Obviously, on the son. Amalai, Kelev Atakai, or Sai? So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at those that worship the Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah itself. To which this Akum got very offended. Amalai, Kelev Atakai, or Sai? You're calling my Avodah Zarah a dog? Fala Yesh by Mamish. It has power. Amalai, Marisa. So they say, where does he have power? Amalai, Pamach, Snuffle, the Lake of Berenu. There was once a horrible fire in our city. The mischief of Kali Irkul and the entire city burnt down. That base of it is Kachavim Lai Nisrif. So you see that it has power. What are you calling it a dog? Amalai, to which we responded. There was a country, one of his provinces rebelled against him. Choice Muhammad, when he does war against those that rebelled against him. Imachaim Oisa, does he do battle with those who are alive? Or Ma'asimaisa, does he do battle with those who are already dead? Have you Aima? Certainly. Imachaim Oisa, those that are dead didn't rebel. Amalai, so now he's even more offended. Kelvatakar Isai, first you called my Avodah Zarah a dog. A dog at least has some value. Now, you insulted it even more. Mace at the Karasai. You're calling it dead. MK, if you're so certain that Avodah Zarah is meaningless, so why not Yavdenim Ra'olim? Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely destroy it? Amalai, to which Chazal responded, if indeed they would worship something that the world has no need for, Harei Mavatlo, he would indeed destroy it. However, Harei and Oivnim, they worship L'chamlu L'vanu L'kechavim L'mazoils, the sun and the moon, and the stars and the constellation, L'afikim L'gayos, hills and valleys, Yoivet Oivnim V'nei Shaitim, should the world be destroyed because of these foolish people? The Kenu Oimer, and so says the Pasuk, Oisif Asif Kod M'pnei Adam and Num Hashem, should I take everything away from the world? Oisif Adam Ubehema Oisif Oifa Shmaim D'gayim Hayam, should I take away all animals and fish and birds? That caused the Rishoyim to stumble. Could Rishoyim worship them? Because the Rishoyim stumble and worship them, Yoiv them in Oilim, should I completely destroy them? Should I also destroy people? Says Hashem. Because we know that they worship people. Should I destroy all people? We can't do that. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the world as it is, and those that do Avodah Zarah, so be it. Says the Gemara, Saul Agrifas Sar Tzvas Gamliel. And as Rashi says, Agrifas was an Akum. He asked Agrifas, the general, answer Gamliel, Ksiv B'Tayraschem. It says in Yotar Kani, Keshem Elkecha Eish Ochlehu Kael Kana. And again, as I said earlier, Kana means jealous. To which Agrifas said, I don't understand, as the Mashah explains. Klumas Kana, Where do we find jealousy? We find jealousy, Ella, chacham b'chacham, the giver b'giver. One smart person is jealous of another smart person. One strong person is jealous of another strong person. Usher b'usher, or a wealthy person is jealous of another wealthy person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous of the Avodah Zarah. Are they his equals? To which Rabbi Gamliel responded that you have the wrong definition, says the Mashah, of the word kinnah. The word kinnah here is not to be understood jealous, but rather the way to understand kinnah, angry. And what he was saying was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at those who worship Avodah Zarah, because he gives it a mashal. Emshchol mashal ma'adav adayma. La'adam shenasi isha elishtay. A person took a second wife. If the second wife is chshuva mimena, is greater, more beautiful, whatever, than the first wife, emes karamba, then the first wife has no right to be angry. He was able to get a great second wife. But if chusha mimena, if the second wife is less than the first wife, then miskanaba. That's when the first wife gets angry. Here Hashem says, you have me. And you change, and you substitute Hashem for Avodah Zarah. Hashem's not jealous, but he is angry. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Zunin l'Rebbe. So Zunin says to Rebbe. And Rashi says, here Rashi says that Zunin was a Jew. And so the Sharm Tzion Balacha quotes the Satmar Rebbe. He says, it's very interesting. He says, by a griefless Rashi said he was a goy. And by Zunin he says he was Jew. How do you know? How does Rashi know that Agrippus is a goy? How does he know that Zunin is a Jew? He says, you could tell from the answers. You answer a Jew one way, and you answer an Akum a different way. And given the way that Agrippus was answered, it's obviously he was an Akum. And given the way Zunin is about to be answered, we could tell he's a Jew. Amalei Zunin l'Rabbi Akiva. Libi of Lipcha Yedeya. And therefore we both know, obviously he's a Jew, that Avodah Zarah less than Masha, that Avodah Zarah is meaningless. However, he says, the Kochazin and Gavri, the Ozli to Mitbri, there are people that go into the base of Avodah Zarah when they are wounded, they're sick. Vasek Kimitzam, then they walk out healthy. Obviously, the Avodah Zarah has power. My Tamba, why? To which he responded, Omlai Emshchla Moshla Ma'adav Adoma. La'adam Nem and Shoyi Be'ir. There was a very honest person in a city. The Chobnei Iroi Ha'mafkidin Atzloi. And everybody trusted this person, and they would leave deposits with that person, Shlevi Edom, Irat Edom, completely trustworthy. However, there was one person, he was a suspicious type of individual. Obo Adam Echot, Fifkid Levi Edom. He was always careful that what he left by that person, he doesn't trust anybody, he needs Edom. Pamach, at one time, that individual, Shachach, he forgot himself, Fifkid Etzla Shlevi Edom. He forgot to leave the deposit with Edom. Amlai Ishtoi, so the wife of this Shoimer now says to him, Barnech Berena, we could deny that we got the deposit. And we'll be believed, because he always uses Edom. Where are the Edom? Amalai, to which he said, because this person acted inappropriately, that he always uses Edom, and this time he didn't. We should not act honestly. And the Mefarshim say, based on this Gemara, tremendous lesson. The obligation to act honest is not only when you get caught, even when you're not going to get caught, we have an obligation to act honestly. Afkach, so to hear. Yisurim b'shosh m'sagim ha'isayel adam. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends Yisurim on a person, mashgbin ha'isay, Hashem makes them swear, shloitelcha al-bayoyim plani, that they should begin at a certain day. V'leitetzun, they should only leave. B'yoyim plani, in a certain day. B'shar plani, at a certain time. V'yidei plani, through a certain doctor. V'yidei sam plani, with a certain medicine. Kimet shigdi is manam lotzes, where the time to leave comes. Hol gzal beis avodes kachavim. This person, punkt, goes to beis avodes kachavim. Am yisru, den hushalai netzei. We don't want him to give credit to Avodah Zarah. The Chayzrim, but then they think to themselves, because this person acted inappropriately, we should not be honest. My Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my Diksiv, the Chaloim Roim V'Namonim, Pasas roim b'shlichuson. They're terrible when they're sent out. They cause a lot of pain. However, in the man b'shvasim, they do what they're supposed to do. A lot to say in this Gemara. The Mepharshim first ask on the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says when the Gemara describes the Surah beginning, the Gemara just uses two words. Shleitelcha b'yoyim ploini. They started on a certain day. When it speaks about leaving, the Gemara goes into great detail. Certain day, certain time, certain doctor, certain medicine. Why is there so much detail to when they leave, to when they come? So I saw a few pshatim. One pshat is that Meruba Mida Taiva Meruda Pranius. The disease coming, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not that particular, it should come at a certain time. If it comes a little late, it's not that terrible. But when it comes to Rechmanis, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to take away the disease from us, he's very particular that it should be taken away at the exact moment. One pshat. Another pshat is as follows. If you have a person who's Baruch Hashem healthy, and then he gets sick, he doesn't realize that he's really getting sick. But once he's Rachmano Litzlan ill, he's waiting every second that the disease should go away. And since he's waiting every second that the disease should go away, we HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an exact moment, because that exact moment is the moment that the person is already looking, hoping that the disease should go away. Furthermore, this is a Gemara where everybody discusses the attitude we should have to doctors. Firstly, this Gemara teaches us that a doctor, and Paiskim say this based on this doctor, this Gemara, a doctor has no right to refuse treatment of a patient. Because the doctor maybe could say, go to a different doctor. But what does our Gemara say? That who is going to be the doctor that should heal the patient as part of the Gzeirah min Hashemayim? And maybe you were the doctor that Hashem said should treat this patient. And therefore you, doctor, have no right to send the patient elsewhere, unless you don't feel competent. Furthermore, our Gemara is used as a famous tshuva, a long tshuva, from the Avni Nezer, that uses our Gemara as a proof that you're allowed to go to doctors, that you should go to doctors, because the Gemara clearly says that which doctor and which medicine is min hashamayim. Although, there are Rishonim that discuss this entire subject of going to doctors. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu made that a person should be sick, so then, it's, as our Gemara says, it's min hashamayim. So what's the point of going to doctors? Devin Ezra makes an interesting distinction. He makes a distinction between an external wound. He says if somebody walks and he falls and he hurts himself or he cuts himself, that's the kind of situation that he's allowed to go to a doctor. Whereas if he falls and he has an internal disease, Rachman al-Tzlan, that clearly is min hashamayim. And that's what Hashem wants, and he shouldn't go to the doctor. The Ramban says a person really shouldn't go to the doctors. Great tzaddikim didn't go to the doctors. Somebody who has true emunah and bitachon doesn't go to doctors. It's only people not on that high level that go to doctors. And as I said, then Reb Nezer has a long discussion. The Mashah says that although our Gemara clearly says that when a person is going to get sick is decreed, and when the person is going to get well is decreed, says the Mashah, that's only if the person didn't do tshuva. But since the entire purpose of a person getting ill is only that he should do tshuva, and he should get the message, so to speak, if he does tshuva, then he doesn't have to be, then even though it's before the time that the disease was supposed to go away, he will get better. And the Mashah says, and the Mepharshim say, there's a lot to say. I'll say two beautiful Divrei Torah, two beautiful explanations based on this concept. There are two brachas that we say every day that speak about refuah. What is in Shemoneh Esrei? But how does the bracha end? Roifei Choylei Amma Yisrael. And then when we say Ashi Yotzar, we say Roifei Kolbosor Umafli Lasos. And it's very interesting to note, when we say in Shemoneh Esrei, we speak about Choylei Amma Yisrael. We speak about Klal Yisrael. Bashiyotza, we say Roif HaKalbosa. We don't speak specifically about Klal Yisrael. What's the difference between the two brachas? Explain the Mepharshim. Beautiful pshat. They explain as follows. They say Klal Yisrael, as the Mashah just explained, have a way that the disease should go away before it was supposed to. As I said, Torah, Tefillah, Tshuva. So if a person takadavins, refa'enu, Raifei Chayle Am Yisrael, we're able to accomplish that we should have a refuah before we were supposed to have the refuah. Then there's Raifei Kabasar, the rest of the world, they'll get well when the time came for them to get well. On Shabbos, we say Nishmas. It's very interesting. We daven in Nishmas, and we say Mufnim Mitzrayim Gyaltanu, or Beis Avodim Pedisanu. We speak about Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. And then we say, Mechloim, Roim, V'rabim, V'namonim, T'lasonu. That Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us from terrible diseases. What's the connection between being sick and leaving Mitzrayim? What's the two things have to do with each other? So it's so beautiful, Pshat. What happened in Mitzrayim? We all know. We were supposed to be in Mitzrayim 400 years, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out after 210 years. So we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if Chas V'Sholem, it was decreed upon us that we should be ill, just like in Mitzrayim, you took us out before the time, we daven mecholayim roim v'namonim, make us healthy before the time we were supposed to get healthy. We should have a refuah shleima b'karif. Amalei, continues the Gemara, Amalei Rabba Bar Yitzchak L'Rabbi Yehuda, Hikka Beis Avodas Chacham Be'Asrin, there is a Beis Avodas Chacham in our city, the Kemitzrach Almala Mitra, when the world needs rain, Mischazlu B'chalma, the Avodah Zarah appears in a dream, V'amrlu, and he instructs them, Shichtu L'Gavra, slaughter a person, V'aisimatra, and rain will come. Shichtu L'Gavra, and indeed they slaughter a person, V'asimitra, and rain comes. Amalei, so why? So we see, obviously, the Avodah Zarah has power. Amma, so he said, Hashti Ish Havah Shechivna, said, so he said, says Rabbi Yehuda, had I died without revealing this to you, my Mefarshim explained is he was the only one that knew this Dvar Torah. And had he passed away before he said it, it would have never been known. HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes them to get slipped up. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings nisyonis to us, tests us. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes people who are leitzim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them act like leitzim, somebody comes to do the wrong thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the opportunity. And the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara is very specific in using different languages for Tama and Tahara. But Tama, the Gemara says, Paischim. They're given the opening, but there's no help. Balatam, Paolatahar, a person who wants to do the right thing, Messiah, so he has Siyata Deshmaya. Why does he have Siyata Deshmaya? So I saw many Pshatim. Posh Pshat is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do the right thing. Another thing is, the right thing is emes. The wrong thing is sheker. Emes is much stronger than sheker. Another pshat that I saw is Baal Tahar. He just has to come. He just has to come to do Tahar. He doesn't have to do anything. He just has to start. And immediately, as soon as you just start, a person becomes worthy of Siyata D'Shmaya. But, on the other hand, a person has to recognize. Sometimes you have a person that does the right thing, he learns and he davens and he does mitzvahs. And he thinks I'm great. Says the Beis Yisrael, you should never forget the Sinai Sai. If you didn't have Siyata D'Shmaya, you would have never accomplished anything. And everything that you're doing is only because Sinai Sai, you have Siyata D'Shmaya. But there's a beautiful Dvar Torah on this Gemara from the Ben Yoyada. He says an interesting story. He says there were two individuals that were once traveling and they were shipwrecked. They were shipwrecked. And they came to a place, and they were religious people, and they came to a place where they didn't see any Jews. And since there was no kosher food, they didn't eat for days, until they were at the point of starvation. And they realized, as we just learned earlier in the parak, v'chai behem, v'lo shiyamos behem, everything takes precedence, that we should preserve our lives. And they went to people's houses to ask for some food. These two individuals went to different people's houses. And they assumed that they were eating non-kosher food. Finally, a week later, a ship comes that will be able to take them back to their homes. And one person, as he's about to leave his host home, the host says, "We want to tell you something. You're obviously a religious Jew. You're obviously a religious Jew. And we see that you were very hurt, and you're very disturbed that you were eating non-kosher food. You should know that we're really Jewish. We're Maranos. We're hidden Jews. And we keep kosher at our home. And therefore, you could go home feeling good that you never ate anything non-kosher." The other individual ate non-kosher. And they're traveling on the boat home, and they're talking about their experience on this abandoned island, and the person who was zaycha to only eat kosher food says to his friend, "You know how lucky I had siyata d'shmaya that I taka only ate kosher food?" And the other person, who obviously ate the non-kosher food, felt very upset how his friend was fortunate not to have to eat macholos asuris, and he ended up eating macholos asuris. He comes back home, and he goes to his rav, and he tells the rav over the entire story. He says, "Of course I know that al pidin, halakhically, I was allowed to eat the non-kosher food." But he asks him, "How come my friend had the siyata d'shmaya that he didn't eat macholos asuris, and I didn't have the siyata d'shmaya?" So the rav asks him, "Tell me, was there ever a time in your life that you ate macholos asuris?" And he thinks, he says, "You know, I think there was once." He says, I once walked by a place that sells non-kosher food. And it was so tempting and it would look so great. And I couldn't control myself. And I walked in and I ate non-kosher food." He says, "That's the answer. Boil with tahir. If somebody is careful with mitzvahs his whole life, Messiah say. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the siyat d'shmaya that he should never have this nesoyin of having to have to do avera. But if a person wasn't in himself in every situation careful, then he doesn't get that siyat d'shmaya, and then there may be circumstances that he'll end up even inadvertently doing an avera. One more pshat. I saw bala tahir bala tamei. The Gemara uses a lashon rabbi, poischan loy b'sayinoy say. What does it say, poischan loy b'sayinoy say? We're talking about an individual. The answer is, we have to look, what does this person do for the community? Bar letame, if this person is put in a place where he may have to do avera, poischan loy b'sayinoy say. We look at who are you? What do you do for the community? If you're a person that does for the community, you're mezakeh sarabim, that b'sayinoy say. A person who's mezakas a rabbim ain't chepa al yaday. He gets a special share of siyata d'shmaya. Somebody else, paischanai, doesn't get that siyata d'shmaya. We actually, as the Tveres Yisrael points out, begin now an entire new sugya, which will lead us to Mitzvah Shem into the next parak, which is a sugya that we've already begun to discuss in our previous shiurim, which is the sugya of stam yenam. In fact, the Tveres Yisrael points out that actually, why is it that this Mishnah talks about Stam Yenam Yain Nesach, as does the beginning of the next parak? Why is it all included in one parak? Why are all of the halachos of Stam Yenam Yain Nesach not in one parak? And Tveres Yisrael says, because we just finished learning this sugya, which speaks about the dialogue that took place between Chachm Yisrael and the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Chazal did not want to end the perek on that note, a discussion about Avodah Zarah and the power of Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the Chazal began this sugya of Stam Yenam in this perek, that we should end with that subject rather than the subject of Avodah Zarah. And the way, just a quick, brief description, how wine was typically made in the times of Chazal. They would bring the grapes, and they would have some sort of an incline that they would deposit the grapes on, and they would step on the grapes to get the juice coming out. Then they would carry the grapes to the top of that apparatus, put a heavy beam, sometimes they did the heavy beam more than once, on top of the grapes to squeeze out the juice. And that juice would fall into a pit into the bottom, under that press where the grapes were being squeezed. And the discussion of our Mishnah, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, there's Yayin Nesach, and not only the Chazal say that Yayin Nesach is Osir, but even Stam Yainam, any wine of the Akum, is Osir. And the discussion of our Mishnah is, at what point is it considered wine that the rules of Yayin Nesach and Stam Yainam should kick in? Says the Mishnah, Loikhin Gasp Utama Evikachavim, the wine that's been stepped on, the grapes that have been stepped on, even though there's already juice that came out of their grapes from the Akum, it's not considered Stam Yenam. Apiship Neutel Biyodai, even though juice has already come out of these grapes, and even though the Akum has picked it up after the juice has begun to come out, it's still not considered Yain Stam Yenam. Even if the guy is transporting it to the Neuslund Tapuach, even though he's transporting it to the mound on top of this apparatus where it's going to be continued to be squeezed, it's not yet considered wine, it's not yet considered grape juice that there should be Isser of Stam Yenam. Vein Oysa Yain Nesach, it's not considered wine that it should have the halach of Yain Nesach, Achi Yerid Labar, until it actually goes into the pit where it drops, where it, after it's squeezed. Yor Labar, but once it falls into that bar, Masha Labar Osir, everything in that pit is considered Stam Yenam, Basham Mutar. However, Rashi says, it's only considered Stam Yenam if the Akum touched the wine or the juice that's in that pit. If the juice falls into the pit and the Akum never touched it, it's not Asur. There are Rishonim that disagree with Rashi. There are Rishonim that say that if the guy did the pressing, as soon as the wine falls into the pit, even though the Akum never touched it after it fell into the pit, it's already considered Stam Yenam. Another word of introduction. There are two issues that the Mishnah wants to discuss, and the Gemara will continue. One is the issue that we're not allowed to make food tamei. Even chulin, we're not allowed to make tamei in Eretz Yisrael. And another halacha is that we're not allowed to participate in the production of something that's asur. Says the Mishnah, Dorchim ma'ov dikchom begas. We know that whatever guy touches becomes tamei. Says the Mishnah that one can participate with an akum in squeezing the wine, even though the grapes have become wet, and we know that something becomes wet is susceptible to tumah. Says the Mishnah, there is no problem, because as soon as the squeezing has begun, that's the way the Rishonim explained. As soon as the squeezing has begun, they already become susceptible to tumah, and therefore anything that happens afterwards, you haven't done anything. Avloy boitzer imay. To do it at an earlier point, you will have participated in making this food tamei, and that's asur. Yisrael shoyis b'tumah. But if you have Yisrael that's making product that's tamei, so not as a new isur. There is no isur a messiah de'ai v'avera by an akum, as the Gemara will explain. There is such an issue by a Jew. So even if the food already became tamei, but you participating with a Jew, you're helping them do something wrong, and therefore it's a stricter standard. Yisrael shoyis b'tumah like dorchin lebeit shemoi, but once it's already made and it's already just put into barrels, then it's already done. Even with Yisrael, it's not considered messiah day of avera. A melichim chavius legas umviyim megas. You could transport barrels. Says the Mishnah, nachtum shoyis b'tumah. If you have a Jewish baker who prepares dough, and again in a way that it's susceptible to tumah, like loshin v'loy archimai, you can't participate in the production of the dough. Because again, you're participating in making something that's tamei, and also ligram tuma to any food. You can carry it to the palter. What does it mean carrying it to the palter? Rashi says, you're not allowed to participate in turning the dough into loaves. But once they're ready loaves and taking them to the baker, where they're actually put into the oven, is fine. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, just like you may not participate in making the dough into loaves, you can't participate in any form of the baking. When it says that you're allowed to take it to the palter, it means the baker who sells the bread, not the baker who bakes the bread.